Oh! Have you ever thought about the fact that the simple letter O can be used in so many different ways, or it can be expressed in so many different ways as to mean a variety of emotions? As in, oh no.
Oh.
Oh, that's too much of a, oh, that's more of an A-W-W-W. Yes. I use that very often in texts. Oh, right. For puppies and sweet compliments that people give me, my friends and family. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh,
good morning to you. It's a Tuesday for many of you. You are starting your work week this morning, which is, it's a little tougher to get out of bed sometimes when it's a longer weekend.
Woo-wee.
But I would take it. There's no way I would turn down a longer weekend simply because it's harder to get back to work. We would love to have you weigh in with our TD of the week poll. It's a Touchdown Tuesday, of course, because football goes on even when you are taking a long break or an extended weekend. At Amy After Hours. And also, I did just post on our Facebook page, so it's available for you whenever you would like to cast your vote. And man, on this Tuesday, while we're talking about voting, we are 3 weeks away from Election Day. How in the world are we nearly in November? That I don't know. But I do recognize the week's been faster when it's football season, and now we're through week number 6 in the NFL. But not without some drama on Monday night. I don't know what it is about MetLife Stadium on Monday night. Maybe it's the NFL execs don't want to have to go anywhere because their offices are located in New York City. No, it's not that, but I think the high hopes for the Jets, once again, second year with Aaron Rodgers on the roster, at least he's healthy and starting right now. But you remember last year it was 10 or 11 primetime games for the Jets, and that couldn't have blown up in the NFL's face any more significantly. Well, here are the Jets yet again in primetime, and there are going to be a bunch of primetime games. Aren't they? Shoot, I feel like they're next week too against the Steelers, aren't they?
You know, I got to take a look. Their schedule is loaded in that regard.
It is. It's all because of what the NFL perceives as a major Aaron Rodgers draw. Yep, it's Sunday Night Football, Week 7. It's the Jets and it's the Steelers. That one happens to be in Pittsburgh, but it is another primetime opportunity for the New York Jets. All of that to say, here they are, a losing team. If I read this correctly, it's the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career that his team has had a losing record through 6 games. And I would assume that means when he's playing and when he's on the field, as opposed to if he might be injured. Here's the thing. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news for the Jets, I mean, we'll talk about the Bills, of course. For the good news, well, they had nearly 400 yards of offense. All right, that's huge. The good news, they were able to spark the run game. Nearly 159 yards rushing. And the fact that Breece Hall had the game that he did, I think, is worth noting. Because they've got this incredible talent in Breece Hall, and he's not been utilized the way that he should. Not so far this season. Hit or miss. Over 100 yards for Breece Hall, including a 42-yard rush that he ripped off down the sideline late in the game. How about the fact that they were able to wow the world? This is Aaron Rodgers' thing, with a Hail Mary. The Bills thought they were taking a double-figure lead into the halftime locker room. 21 seconds to go. They get a touchdown. Oh, think again.
Aaron Rodgers in the shotgun. Takes the snap and drops back again, a two-man rush. Steps up in the pocket, has time, and he's just going to heave the ball towards the end zone. Jets a Hail Mary into the end zone. It's tapped around. Alan Lazard, the ball bounces out. He thought he had it for a touchdown. Did he have it? It's a touchdown! It's a Hail Mary touchdown to Alan Lazard before halftime.
Wow.
It is ruled a catch by Alan Lazard in the end zone for a Jet Hail Mary before halftime touchdown.
Shotgun snap, two-man rush. Rodgers sets, looking,
moving up, winding up, long arching spiral thrown down the middle in the end zone. Tipped and caught! Caught! They're going to call a touchdown! He hit the deck! He caught the ball! It's a Jets touchdown! 52-yard Hail Mary!
The calls with both Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio and then Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
That was a thick pick! That was a thick pick!
It wasn't a thick pick, but Kevin Harlan has the best flair for the dramatic. That was last week. So we get a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Pretty incredible. You've got Patrick Mahomes weighing in. LeBron James is weighing in. It was one of those moments. And I can imagine the Jets locker room was fired up. They get into the locker room and are only trailing by 3 points. Probably the opposite case for the Buffalo Bills. Big deal. And this is awesome. Whether it's the Jets or whether it's another team, doesn't matter. I love field level videos because they put you right there in the center of the action. And the NFL shared this angle of the Hail Mary from behind the end zone where Alan Lazard and most of the Bills defenders are congregated. So essentially you see Aaron Rodgers chuck the ball right at you. You kind of lose him. Again, it's field level. So you kind of lose him as he's scrambling around trying to find an opening to heave that ball. And then from the end zone, from behind the end zone, you see Lazard catch the ball in his helmet. It happens very quickly in a crowd of blue jerseys. He hits the deck. There's the mini conference between the two officials and ultimately the touchdown that's signaled. But yeah, you kind of lose Rodgers in the traffic and then all of a sudden the ball comes flying out. And so I love the video, but the audio is amazing. Go and check it out on my Twix at A-Law Radio because the roars, the collective roar of that crowd at MetLife, it's this cacophony of sound, which is one of my favorite things about sports. I don't think there's anything better than the electricity of an amped up crowd in big moments. So it was a really cool moment for the Jets thinking, okay, that's the spark they need. Oh no. The bad news is, in the second half, Greg Zuerlein misses a pair of field goals, one that clangs so hard off the upright. Can we hear it on the play-by-play, producer Pete? Because it was a tremendous clang.
This is for the lead, a 32-yard Jet field goal try. Snap is good, kick is away, and it is no good! Hits the upright!
Oh, yeah, you
hits
heard
the
it.
Left upright! We remain tied.
One of my favorite sounds in sports, the clang. And you can hear that ball smacked the upright so hard that it's an audible noise. And of course, the uprights and the end zones, the pylons, they're all mic'd up too, in case we get some crazy action nearby. So a pair of missed field goals. There's the bad news. Also bad news in that they were 1 of 4 in the red zone. And that continues to be a major issue for them. And then finally, as the Bills and the Jets are fighting tooth and nail toward the end of the game, the Jets defense does a solid. They keep Josh Allen and the Bills from scoring, and we're talking up close. If I remember correctly, they had 5 snaps from inside the 10-yard line. They had 7 snaps inside the red zone, and the Jets hold them out of the end zone. So that's a big deal for the Jets offense, forcing the Bills then to go with Tyler Bass, who himself is a roller coaster ride. And I think in the win, pretty much everybody was. But Bass himself causes Bills fans to collectively hold their breath. Then the ball goes back to the Jets. All right, so here they are, yet again, just like London, with the ball in their hands and an opportunity to score in those final couple minutes and snag a victory from the jaws of defeat.
Rodgers in the shotgun, Hall to his right on 3rd and 16. Back to pass. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
We caught a cover two, and I was basically playing the half field safety. I see Aaron. My hips are turned to the left side, so I had to do a speed turn to find the ball, and he ended up throwing it to the outside, and I made the play.
Chris Brown with the call on Bills radio. Taron Johnson also describing that game-sealing interception. And he actually leaves out a couple of details. I do love the fact that he had to spin and get it. But Mike Williams, the intended receiver, trips. The ball is underthrown by Aaron Rodgers. And as Taron turns to see it, he somersaults over the top of Mike Williams and snags that ball before it hits the turf. Really impressive athletic play. I think he is an accident, but he kicked Mike Williams in the head or in the helmet as he's going over the top. And so Williams is kind of down there on the turf. But yeah, Williams slips. Rodgers doesn't get the ball there deep enough. And if you've seen some of the video that's out there online or you're watching the overhead shots, he had multiple jets, including Breece Hall coming out of the flat on the right side, wide open with probably a good 10 to 15 yards of nothing but green space in front of him. So a tough decision there by Aaron Rodgers. Not that he can't make those plays. We saw him hit some very tight windows in this game. But ultimately, the bad news is the Jets still lose, and the Bills are able to prevent them with that interception at the end from having another quality opportunity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Aaron Rodgers, not thrilled with the officiating. I think he and every man and woman on the planet who was paying attention to football was unhappy with the officiating, including a lot of people that are inside the NFL. 22 flags thrown. I know there's points of emphasis, and I get it. You're trying to maintain your integrity based on the NFL rules, but the pass interference calls, for heaven's sakes, if you blow on a quarterback, that turns out to be pass interference. And tackling should not be roughing the – I meant to say roughing the passer. Pass interference is another thing. It gets way out of control. It's my least favorite call in the NFL. But roughing the passer, that's gone nutso. The fact that you can't really tackle without getting a flag, or you're in danger of getting a flag if you do more than smile at the quarterback. And then pass interference, too. It needs to be significant. There should be a focus on whether or not the ball is catchable. The ball's not catchable. It shouldn't be a pass interference. That's the rule. And so there's just way too many flags. They need to back off. Just back off. I know it's week six, but time to slam the brakes. And even tapping the brakes would be better when it comes to the number of calls. But yeah, for the Jets, as much as there were some positive steps forward as Todd Downing takes over play calling, they're still at 2-4, and the offense is a bit of a mess.
We need to get going. This was a golden opportunity. Some games you win in the NFL, and some games you give away. This was a giveaway. I mean, we're terrible in the red zone. We missed two field goals. Didn't convert on a 2-minute drive. We had plenty of chances. Had the momentum, had good drives, moved the ball up and down the field. So, disappointing.
I always wonder what the reaction of the other locker room is when an athlete says, we gave this one away. We are the reason why we lost, so to speak. I'm sure the Bills would disagree with that. Big deal for Jeff Ulbrich. He coaches his first game as interim in replacing Robert Saleh.
It was a different challenge, for sure. Just calling the game is a challenge in itself. Fortunately, a great support staff. I got eyes above me, constantly in my ear, talking to me and guiding me. It was a challenge, but it was not overwhelming by any means.
So is it Robert Saleh then? That's the major question. Is it Robert Saleh? Because not a whole lot changed. Their offense had a little spark to it. I do like the run game element. I think that will serve them well with Breece Hall. But they still end the game with a turnover. They're still woeful in the red zone. And as much as the missed field goals aren't the fault of the offense, if you're getting into the end zone, well, then you're not relying on your kicker and you're not having to worry about it that way. Now, for the Bills, this is a big deal because they're able to get back in the win column. They're first place in the AFC East. So this was a battle for first place in the AFC East. And they deserve a ton of credit for the fact that they were able to run the ball as well and do it without James Cook, who was a late scratch for this game. They didn't have him. And so the fact that they were able to use that ground game with a rookie out of Kentucky, you know, running back you. Ray Davis, he ends up with well over 100 all-purpose yards. Now, probably not their best offense when a rookie running back is also your leading receiver with just 3 catches and 55 yards. But regardless, this was a division game. They were on the road. They've been on the road now for 3 weeks, including their London game. And so everybody all in, kind of everybody into the pool. This was a huge win that the Bills needed.
Big game for us in terms of where it stands. In the grand scheme of things, though, it was the next one, and that's why it was the most important. And we'll turn our attention to Sunday.
I think you learn a lot about your team when you go on the road, especially for 3 straight weeks. And we learned a lot about ourselves even tonight, just in this game. So it'll be great to be back home. We can't take that for granted, though, in our preparation. And again, on a short week, hopefully we get some guys back.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills needed this badly. I wouldn't say it was a must win of any sorts, but it is a battle for first place, and they don't want to have to put themselves in a, they don't want to be in a position like last year, remember, to start December needing to run the table that month to maintain their hold on the AFC East. So I like the fight that I saw from the Bills. I like what I saw from them in the trenches. They had not just a couple of sacks of Aaron Rodgers, but we're also able to hit him another 5 times. So that's a big deal as well for them to get a pass rush. And a couple of moments that stand out. Damar Hamlin got a jersey swap with Aaron Rodgers, and it was really neat to see what Aaron wrote to Damar. I'm sure this is the sentiment of most players in the NFL, but on the number 8 Jets jersey, Rodgers wrote, "You're an inspiration to me and millions. Much love, my brother." I'm sure that meant a ton to Damar Hamlin. And then something else that stands out, too, is the Bills. We always see a Josh Allen fired up, but the energy of the Bills in this game, recognizing the critical nature, and I thought they went all out. It wasn't the prettiest game for them either. A lot of times these AFC East battles are not. They only end up with a field goal in the second half as well. But in this type of a gritty game in which you're dealing with the win and you're on the road, hostile environment, they end it with the exclamation point of not just the interception by Taron Johnson, but also being able to run out the clock. Taron is our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. I wondered this as I was watching the game and kind of processing what we were seeing, whether or not Johnson remembers this moment as kind of a hallmark in his career. He's 28 years old, and he just picked off Aaron Rodgers. And it was a pretty dramatic highlight. Remember hearing from guys late in Tom Brady's career. They caught a pass from Brady. They caught a touchdown from Brady. They were able to pick off Tom Brady, right? Or sack Tom Brady. And it was a big deal to all of them. So here is this younger player. Not that it's his first day, right? But the fact that he now has an interception off Aaron Rodgers, I would think that that would be a pretty significant moment. And so he is our Defensive Player of the Week as he caps Week 6 in the NFL, because you know, defense wins championships. We did include the Hail Mary in our Touchdown of the Week poll. It's a Touchdown Tuesday. And right now it's neck and neck with Sam Laporta and the trick play touchdown. Both of those going 50 plus yards. Yeah, a little razzle dazzle. So you can take that poll at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. This is funny. I know that it's a lot to do social media when we're on the air, and I'm sure I do these things too. But I was just looking at the TD of the Week post. Who's Al?
Oh, no. It does this all the time. Whenever I try to tag you, it sends me to another name.
Al. We like Al, whoever Al is.
Call me Al.
This is Al. Looks like one of those avatars with Japanese anime. I don't know if you watch Japanese anime. And his or her, I'm not really sure. The avatar is there, but then all it says is poison tree. Uh-oh, what if that's something really bad? Poison tree is, yep. So I'm sure that Al will appreciate the fact that you have included him or her on our TD of the Week post.
And then sometimes it does a random Amy.
Oh, well, there is another Amy Lawrence that works in sports out there. She actually covers footy, and she's across the pond. So she covers soccer, football, for some publication. And she's forever sending people to me because hers is, I think, at Amy Lawrence 71. I can imagine if she blocked me. Hold on. At Amy Lawrence.
Ow.
71. Yeah, there she is. Yeah, she's a football writer, and she's got a massive following. She's also apparently an author on the Arsenal beat. Oh, well, that would make sense for The Athletic in the UK. So she is much bigger deal than I am. I'm not in any way a big deal. But yeah, I remember one time she followed me and then quickly unfollowed me because apparently she didn't like what it was that I was tweeting about sports. So yes, she's often sent people to my account because people see the Amy Lawrence and then just assume.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think? 71. Is that her jersey number? Is that if she played? Is that the year she was born?
Yeah, it could be both. It could be both.
Maybe it's her address, her home address. Do you know people are notorious for using numbers of significant, like, addresses or dates in their either passwords or social media monikers, email addresses? People say those who are into security, cybersecurity, that's a no-no. Don't use a number that people would recognize about you or could find easily. Your address, your birth date, the birth date of your kids. What's another one? Trying to think if there's another one out there that is it's a no-no. Oh, your age, although that obviously changes.
That's in usernames, correct?
Yeah, usernames, passwords, emails, anything like that. Got to be a little trickier than that, peeps. Be a little trickier because certainly the cyber criminals out there are very tricky. All right, coming up, we had a pair of baseball games on Monday night. And crazy enough, this very rarely happens in my 12-plus years working at the Infinity Sports Network, or what it was named before, and even my 20 years in network radio, I can't remember very many nights where it was a good night for all New York sports fans. I'm pretty sure all three hockey teams won as well. The three that were playing, the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils, all New York area teams won, plus the Jets, plus the Mets, and the Yankees. Oh, it'll never happen again. That's it. Enjoy it while you can. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here's the 2-0. It's a wild pitch. Coming home and scoring is Judge, and the other runners move to second and third. The Yankees take a 2-0 lead on the wild pitch. The 1-2 gets away from Naylor. Another run scores. We'll call that a wild pitch to allow Stanton to score. And the Yankees take a 3-0 lead. And, of course, the other runners moved up to second and third.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The calls with John Sterling on Yankees radio. And to me, even though it was early in the game, bottom of the third, this was the turning point of the opener of the ALCS. Because Carlos Rodon was locked in, and we'll talk about the Yankees starter in a second, he already had the lead when Juan Soto hit a solo shot earlier in the inning. But then Alex Cobb got into trouble and he walked the bases full. And as he was replaced, his bullpen replacement then throws two wild pitches, boom, right off the top, back-to-back hitters. Aaron Judge is able to score, and then another run able to score, and Cleveland actually threw five wild pitches, walked nine batters. And so right there, you're talking about the game becoming significantly more challenging and difficult in that environment in Yankee Stadium. Meanwhile, Rodon, who had been, by his own account, pretty fired up, maybe too hyped up, too much adrenaline in his last start, he was locked in.
And ready to deal 0-2. Struck him out swinging. Wow. Wow, what a night for Rodon. That's 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. No runs, 2 hits, and 9 strikeouts. At the end of 4.5, 4-0 Yanks.
So Rodon ends up with a really nice start. And these days in the playoffs, a quality start sometimes it's five innings. He actually goes six innings, allows just a single run on three hits, does strike out nine, only has to throw 93 pitches. And he had a muse within the Yankees rotation for which he modeled his demeanor and his approach to this game.
I watched Garrett throw that game four in Kansas City, and, you know, mentally I was taking notes on how he was going out there and going about it, and I just wanted to kind of go about it the same way, and I thought I did well at that tonight.
He definitely did. He was the guy who was able to eat up innings, and they only then had to use the bullpen for the final couple innings. I think, too, when the Yankees can get these starts in this environment, I mean, you are talking about guys who, if they were on the Yankees roster, didn't make the playoffs last year or maybe don't have a ton of postseason experience. Remember, the Yankees haven't won the American League since 2009. It may seem like they're in it every year, but their major issues over the past few seasons have kept them from being really relevant when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to October. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Giancarlo Stanton with yet another home run. I mean, he's Mr. October as long as he's healthy. Still waiting for Aaron Judge to come up with a home run. Juan Soto had one last night, but a lot of these guys in the Yankees clubhouse were just thrilled for Rodon.
Unreal. Working both sides of the plate, just keeping them off balance, staying under barrels. He's great to watch.
From Yankees Radio. Yeah, Giancarlo is on a tear right now. They just still need help from other parts of their lineup, namely Aaron Judge. If you missed my conversation with Spanish language broadcaster Ricky Ricardo of the Yankees, he's so much fun. You want to talk about a flair. The guy could talk, he could read a phone book and could talk about the weather, and it would be exciting. I just think he's great. So he joined us. He's also the Eagles Spanish language broadcaster. So we did talk a little bit about football, the NFC East. As for the Guardians, I mean, we know they've been in this situation before. They were down in the ALDS. No doubt they're going to fight back. I love what they're made of. And for Stephen Vogt, part of what has made the Yankees a big challenge is how they are sitting back and waiting. They amassed, what, 9 walks in game number 1? And so the Guardians pitchers are throwing a lot more, racking up the pitches pretty quickly because the Yankees are sitting on it and waiting for their pitches.
We talked about this before the series started. These guys work the count. They don't chase a whole lot. And you know, I think if I take something away from tonight, we just need to attack the zone better. And we didn't tonight, and they made us work.
So we are just one game in. Settle in. It's a marathon. The Yankees obviously take the opener, but there's still a long way to go. As for the New York Mets, they get another one of those moments of Mark Vientos grand slam. And they're able to make game 2 of the NLCS as lopsided as the opener was in favor of the Dodgers. But the significant part of this is they do it in Los Angeles, which means now, should they take care of business, can they win 3 in a row against the Dodgers at Citi Field? I have no idea. But I do know that they've at least put themselves in position that they may not have to go back to L.A., and they've stolen away that home field advantage as much as it matters in baseball. I don't know that it matters in Major League Baseball. But yeah, Vientos, he was salivating over the fact that the Dodgers intentionally walked Francisco Lindor in front of him so that he came up with the bases loaded.
I want them to walk Lindor in that situation and put me up there. And at that point, I was just, let me simplify the game. Just get one run in, get a walk, like whatever I can do to add another run to the score.
You know, like I said, the loss sucks, but you can't sit there and cry about it. You still got a bunch more games to play, and you know, you just got to make sure that you're ready to go. And that's why it's a good thing there's an off day tomorrow. You have a workout, you show up, and you make sure you get good work in, and then you go in the next day. And it's like I just said, it's a series at that point.
Why am I hearing Tom Hanks from A League of Their Own? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. Yes, Max Muncy mentioning that you can't cry over it. Well, not now. Maybe if you get eliminated, then is there crying in baseball?
No. You can't sit there and cry about it.
There's no... Are you crying? Are you crying?
You can't sit there and cry about it.
Did you happen to see producer Pete at any point over the course of these playoffs or just the last couple weeks, that commercial with Jennifer Garner? Is it Aflac? It's Discover? Shoot.
It might be DirecTV.
DirecTV? She's hawking DirecTV as well?
I think so.
Hold on. Jennifer Garner, not Lopez, you weirdo. Jennifer Garner, are you crying baseball? This is what I'm Googling. Oh, it's Capital One Venture Card.
Of course.
I swear she used to be with Discover. Didn't she used to hawk Discover in your travel miles?
Probably.
Your miles that never expire? And now she's with Capital One? So it's, of course, a knockoff. It's a spoof of that scene, mm-hmm. There's No Crying in Baseball. And I'm just going to be honest. I love her. She was terrific in Alias. I think that's some of her best work ever. That commercial is annoying as heck.
Because it's on all the time.
Well, that, and it's just annoying. I understand it. I think it's clever. It's just annoying.
Because it's one of the most memorable lines in a movie.
Wait, movie or sports movie?
Sports movie.
Okay. I was going to say, do you want to qualify that?
No, I mean, it could be on the big list, but we'll just go sports movies. But yeah, it's one of the most memorable lines, and they're spoofing it. And if it doesn't come across well, it doesn't look, people don't...
Well, and it's for a Capital One Venture card.
Right.
Just, ew. How dare you deface one of the greatest scenes in sports, film, cinema ever?
As you try to sell debt.
There's no crying in Capital One, or I don't know what she says.
Right.
Yeah, I watched it one time and my mouth was agape and I was thinking, come on, they're not really doing this. But yes, they are. All right, we've got a little QB news coming up because it's football season. What? I mean, that's duh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
We begin with the baseball postseason. We'll start in New York, game one of the American League Championship Series.
Now the 0-1 is hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. Oh, it is gone. A Stantonian home run.
John Sterling on Yankees Radio. Yankees take game one of the ALCS, beat the Guardians 5-2. Carlos Rodon allowed a run in three hits while striking out 9 over 6 innings. Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton hit home runs for the Yankees. Game two is Tuesday night in New York. Now to Los Angeles.
It's 2-2. Diaz sets. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. He finally went to the slider. Strikes out Freeman. And the Mets have evened up the National League Championship Series at one game apiece.
Howie Rose on Mets Radio. The Mets win game two of the National League Championship Series as they beat the Dodgers 7-3. Francisco Lindor led off the game with a home run. Mark Vientos capped the five-run second with a grand slam. Game three Wednesday in New York. Now to Monday Night Football. Bills and Jets tied at 20 in the fourth quarter.
Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is up, and it is good. So with 3:43 left, the tie has finally been broken. Bills have the lead, 23-20.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. The Bills beat the Jets 23-20. Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson underwent successful surgery Sunday night to repair a fractured tibia and fibula. There is no timetable set for his return. Now to the NHL. The Islanders beat the Avalanche by a score of 6-2. In Montreal, Lars Eller scored 2 goals. Penguins over the Canadiens 6-3. The Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-1. Sam Reinhart with a power play goal and shorthanded goal. Panthers over the Bruins 4-3. In overtime, Senators 8, Kings 7. And Jake Allen with 20 saves. Devils over Utah 3-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Steps back, throws the fade. Cooper Cup's got it! Touchdown, L.A.!
Burrow back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Ooh. Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
The
Rodgers fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Heckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Well, some things don't change, even if the voices do. Chris Brown with the call on Bills Radio. Yeah, this is one of the moments that stands out from Josh Allen. The Bills, the victory on the road at the Jets on Monday night to wrap week number 6. Yeah, he was under pressure as the Bills were in the red zone, but what does he do? He ducks underneath a defender. Defender's about to drape all over him. He's like flying in. Some kind of Superman, and Josh just ducks under him, pivots, and fires the ball to Dawson Knox in the corner. It was really incredible. That's the athleticism and the explosiveness, the strength, of course, of Josh Allen. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Both the Jets and the Bills able to rush for over 100 yards. For Buffalo, no James Cook, and yet Ray Davis has nearly 100 yards on the ground. Also their leading receiver. The offensive line was in there protecting Josh, just a couple of sacks. He was able to do what he does with the 3 touchdowns. And yeah, all hands on deck for the Bills to end their little losing skid.
I thought our guys blocked their tails off in the pass game. I think we got it to quite a few different guys. First half was very, very good, and we got to find a way in that second half to keep that momentum going. A lot to learn from. Got a little sloppy there at the end. Some penalties, but, you know, it was a team win.
Oh, did someone say penalties? Right. Lots of people talking about the 22 penalties for 204 yards. That's the two teams combined. Each team flagged 11 times on Monday Night Football, and Aaron Rodgers, well, he thought it was over the top.
That seemed a little ridiculous. Some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Okay, I'll just be honest. I had no idea what sarcastic ball is. Did you know? It's a South Park reference, which I didn't realize. That's not a show I watch.
No chance I'll know that.
You might as well play sarcastic ball if you're going to call those things. And he's referring to the roughing call against A.J. Epenesa, who had a couple of sacks last night, not roughing the passer. And I hate it. I think it's become, when it's quarterbacks who are telling you it's not roughing the passer and it shouldn't qualify, well, then you know there's an issue. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner's been saying this for years. He can't stand it that the field is slanted so much in favor of the offense. So, yeah, a lot of penalties. We'll see if the NFL has anything to say about it, but maybe tap the brakes with all the yellow laundry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also in the AFC East, well, we know the Patriots have changed quarterbacks. They're now going with the rookie Drake May. As for the Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa is going to play again this year if he clears through concussion protocol and the doctors allow him to do it. But when, Mike McDaniel?
I know he's not playing this week, and I do expect to see him playing football in 2024. But where that is exactly, we'll let the process continue, since we still have time before he even could entertain anything.
Once again, Tyler Huntley for the Dolphins against the Patriots. No touchdowns, but he did throw an interception. Just a lot to ask of him in an offense that was built around Tua Tagovailoa, not to have Skylar Thompson either. The Dolphins end up with the win against the Patriots. But this was this is going back, of course. But this was still, I think, frustrating for them because they had so many hopes and dreams here and aren't able to at this point sustain them until they can get Tua back on the field. Though his individual health is the most important thing. So, yeah, they had their bye this week, but Tua won't play in week number 7. What about Kevin Stefanski Deshaun Watson. He continues to stump for his quarterback, even though it's a woeful offense for the Cleveland Browns, and not changing his tune on Monday.
I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win, continues to give us the best chance to win, and we need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
I know they're not helping him a lot. The offensive line is rough, but they did get a good rushing attack this weekend. They have drops. There's a lot going on. But if you watch him play, he's just out of sync. He's not the same guy that he was. He's getting hit a lot, so maybe that leads to skittish feet, happy feet. Maybe it leads to seeing ghosts. It's just, it's not a confident quarterback, and it's really a mess. And yet, Kevin Stefanski sticking with him. Now, a lot of people think this is on the owner, that the owner is forcing Kevin Stefanski and his staff to stick with Deshaun Watson because of the money they're paying him, but Stefanski disputes that.
We have a good dialogue with myself, Andrew, ownership, about all things that have to do with this team. They've been nothing but supportive, and any decision when it comes to football is my decision.
It's a bit of a kick in the pants, though, if you're a Browns fan and you're watching Joe Flacco go out there and start and lead the Colts to a win in the AFC South over the Titans. Yeah, Joe Flacco, I wish I could nominate him for a second straight comeback player of the year, but that's not how it works. So instead, he's just waiting to find out if he's going to start each week for Anthony Richardson.
I've been around long enough. You just got to stay on your toes and prepare. And that's kind of how it was, you know. I didn't want to assume anything or not assume anything. So I kind of, like I said, just went into the building, prepared like I know how to, and kind of, you know, waited until some kind of decision was made.
And then he goes out there and throws for 189 yards, a couple of touchdowns, including the game winner to Michael Pittman on the road. Yeah, there's a pick in there as well. But shoot, why can't the Browns get a quarterback like that? Oh, wait a minute. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Seriously, I love this Joe Flacco wrinkle. I don't know if the Colts do anything, but they are 500. And the AFC South, there could potentially be a wild card that comes out of there. Something I'm looking forward to on Tuesday, but I would say knowing it's going to be emotional, certainly recognizing that this is a night that the Columbus Blue Jackets and their fans have been looking forward to and planning because they want to honor Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, but also that they're dreading, as you can imagine. And they have their home opener coming up on this Tuesday night against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. And so I'm interested to see how they handle it, but also know that the emotion will be real stark in this one. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but the father of Johnny and Matthew, he'd been skating with the Philadelphia Flyers that invited him to come to practice and to a couple of skate arounds, but the Blue Jackets invited him on Monday and they asked him if he wanted to speak to the team. He said he didn't really, but I guess he did end up talking to a bunch of the guys and how it matters and what it means to Gaudreau's teammates and the fact that dad is around and they can lift him up, but also he can provide them with some support and encouragement. They all love Johnny and miss Johnny dearly, of course. And so I'll be keeping my eyes on that on this Tuesday night. And we'll make sure that we give you some of the reaction to it as well. In the meantime, crush your Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.